Starting here on the top of Ted Vav and Aleph, we're continuing from yesterday, about five lines down, we concluded the Gemara said, Ezra Katav Sifro, V'yuchus Shel Divrei Yomim Adlo, that he authored both Ezra and Nehemiah, and he also authored Divrei Yomim until the generations of the Yuchus reached until him. So the Gemara says, Messiah Le the Rav. It's the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Lo Ala Ezra Mibavel, Achi Yechesed Smol Vala, that Ezra did not leave Bavel until he brought all the Yuchus and checked all the Yuchus until himself, and then he went up. So Gemara says, Uman Aske, who completed it? I mean, if Ezra only got to himself, who completed the rest of the Divrei Yomim? Gemara says, Nehemiah ben Chachaliah. Then Nehemiah finished off the rest of Divrei Yomim. Amar Mar, Yoshua, this is quoting from the Braisa that we had before about who authored the Torah. So it's Amar Mar, Yoshua Katav Sifro, Ushmuna Psukim Sheba Torah. Yeshua wrote his own Sefer, Sefer Yoshua, plus the last 8 Psukim of the Torah. Tanya, Kamanda Amar, Shmuna Psukim Sheba Torah, Yoshua Katvan. This supports the Braisa, or is like the one who says that the last 8 Psukim in the Torah were authored by Yehoshua. To Tanya, we have a Braisa, Vayamat, Sham Moshe Eved Hashem, right? At the end of Sefer Devarim in Zota Bracha, it says that Moshe died. So Avshar Moshe Chai. How could it be that Moshe is alive? Katav Vayamat Sham Moshe. How could he be writing that he's dead if he's alive? Ela Adkan Katav Moshe. Until that point, Moshe wrote it. Mikan Ve'elech Katav Yeshua Divrei Rabbi Yosi or Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that until that point in time, that Moshe writes from the point on which Moshe couldn't write because it wouldn't be truthful what he was writing because Vayamat Moshe was that he was still alive. So Yeshua fills in the last 8 psukim. This is the position of Reb Nechemia. How could it be possible that the Sefer Torah is missing a single letter, meaning that Torah becomes Torah because it's Torah Moshe, and the shame Torah would be missing from those 8 psukim if Moshe himself did not write them? And it says in the Pasuk, in this week's parsha, Lakoch et Sefer Torah Zeh, that you should take this Sefer Torah and place it. I mean, Sefer Torah Zeh seems like Moshe finished the Torah, and then Levim are placing it into the Mishkan. Ela Adkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Moshe Kotev. Until this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates to Moshe, tells him what to write, and he writes down the Sefer Torah. Mikan Ve'elech, from Yamat Moshe, Eved Hashem, onward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, like before, Hashem is speaking or dictating to Moshe. Moshe kotev bedema, and Moshe is writing in tears, meaning that he's writing about what's about to happen to him. So he knows that he's going to die, and he's writing in a tearful way. Moshe ne'amar lehalan. So we see the similar type of idea in Yirmiyahu that many times the Rav or the Navi or here Hashem is dictating or telling it over, and the Talmid is writing. Vayomer lehem Baruch mipiv yikra elai et kol hadvarim ha'ele v'ani kotev al hasefer bedyo. So Baruch ben Neriah, who is the Talmid of Yirmiyahu, tells when he goes up to the king and he goes up to the ministers to tell over with the nevuah from Yirmiyahu, then they asked him, where did you get it from? And he says that I listened to Yirmiyahu, read it out loud. He said all of these items and I wrote them down as it was going. So, Kaman Azla Hadam Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba Amar Rav Gidol Marav. So, who does this statement of halacha by Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba and Rav Gidol Marav? The Shmona Psukim Shetara Yachid Korah Untan. That the last 8 Psukim of the Torah, an individual must read them. What that means, we'll see in a second. So, Mar says, Lema Delok Rabbi Shimon. Let's say it's not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon believes the Sefer Torah was all authored by Moshe. So even the last 8 Psukim shouldn't be any different than any other part of the Torah. We understand in the other position, Rabbi Nehemiah or Rabbi Yehuda, that the position should be different because they believe it was written by Yeshua. So there should be a different din. So it says, Afilu Tem Rabbi Shimon, Ol Yishtanu Yishtanu. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, the last 8 Psukim are different than the other 8 Psukim of the Torah. Those last 8 Psukim were authored by Moshe Bedema. So since they're different, then they might have a different character lahalacha as well. What is that different character lahalacha? So what does it mean, Yachid Korei Otan? Rashi brings down Ein Masikin Behen, that you're not allowed to stop. You're not allowed to divide them up into 2 aliyot. Tosus brings from Rabbi Meshulam that a person has to read those and not the Shliach Tzibur. As today, where we have a person who leans the Baal Korei, and the person who gets the aliyah reads along with the Baal Korei. He says that the Rabbi Shmulam says that on those eight psukim, then only the person who is called up for the Aliyah should read them and not the Baal Korei. It should only be a single individual that reads them. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says, no. He says, everybody, the whole Torah should be read that way. The best way to read the Torah is to have the person who's getting the Aliyah to read the Torah. That was the optimal, the Chathchila situation. tradition. It's just that later on in time, people stopped knowing how to learn the Torah and how to read the Torah. So in order to prevent embarrassment for them, we put up a Baal Koreh who can lead them and who can read for them in order that they should not be embarrassed, similar to what they did by Bikurim from this week's Parsha. By Bikurim, people stopped bringing their Bikurim because they didn't know how to read the Parshat HaBikurim. So they instituted that the Kohen would read the Parshat HaBikurim in order that nobody would be embarrassed and no one would bring up their Bikurim. So too over here. The optimal for everybody is to read it that way. So how can you say these eight psukim are different than the person should read them, not the Shliach Tzibur? Rabbi Ben Otam learns like Rashi that Yachid Koreh Belo Hafsaka, that if a person reads them, he has to read them without any interruption. So too, you can't have one person read four psukim, one read the other four psukim, and it should be read by one aliyah, and one person should read the Torah in this way. The Rabbi Otam discusses the fact that the Gemara in other places mentions that the laning should be done in a way which is through a sirsur, through an intermediary, just like the Torah was given through Moshe to us, the Klal Yisrael. So too, when you have laning, you should have people up there, which it sounds like you should have the Oled Torah, you should have the Chazan who stands next to him, and then the Klal. So it sounds like you need a Shliach Tzibur, you need someone to read to be the sirsur. So the Ri says about this, and Rabbi Otam, that's not the case. It's not that we need the Shliach Tzibur up there to read, just need the Shliach Tzibur be up there to help him at sometimes when he makes a mistake, but generally just to be there so it looks like there are numerous people up there. It looks like there is a number of people so that there is a Moshe, Hashem, and the Sirsur that's going on, passing it to the people, but not that there's an optimal situation in which the Shliach Tzibur should read the Torah. Okay, now we continue in the Gemara. Gemara is going to continue to dissect the brace about who authored which sefer. Yeshua katav sifro. Yeshua really write his sefer v'aktiv v'yamat Yeshua binun. At the end of Yeshua, in the last perek, towards the end, it says Yeshua binun dies. Eved Hashem. So who finished it? He couldn't have been Yeshua. The same problem that we have by the sefer Torah, we have the problem now by Yeshua. Where it says to ask Elazar that Elazar Kohen finishes it off v'aktiv. And the last pasuk of Yeshua says v'Elazar ben Aaron mate. Right. So and then he's buried in the plot of the land by Pinchas. So what about Elazar? Elazar authored it. He can't finish it either. Eladaske Pinchas. That Pinchas was the one who completed it, who finished off the Sefer Yehoshua. Shmuel Katav Sifro. Shmuel wrote his Sefer. Again, we have the same problem. Achtiv, in the middle of Shmuel Aleph, it says, Ushmuel mate, that Shmuel dies. So how could he have authored Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet? How could he have authored them if he dies at a certain point within Sefer Shmuel? Where it says, the Aske God Chozev and Natan HaNavid, the Nevi'im that appear later on in Shmuel, that appear to David and others along the way in Sefer Shmuel, they complete the work of Shmuel and Nevi, and that's God and Natan. David Katav Sefer Tehillim Yedei Asaraz Kenim. So we saw that David authored Tehillim with the 10 Zikenim that were listed in the Braisa. The Gemara says, V'lachshev Nami Eitan HaEzrachi. What happened to Eitan HaEzrachi? Because we have a Tehillim that is quoted from Eitan HaEzrachi, and how come he's not enumerated amongst the 10 Zikenim? Or it should be 11 now. So Amarav, Eitan HaEzrachi Zehu Avraham. That Eitan HaEzrachi is synonymous with Avraham. It's another name for Avraham, and that's why it is not mentioned here, because we already mentioned Avraham in the listing. Gemara says, K'tiv ha'och, it says over here, Eitan HaEzrachi, meaning in Tehillim, it says Eitan HaEzrachi, K'tiv ha'tam, and it says over there, that meaning that in Yeshayahu, it says, Mi he'ir mizrach tzedek, who was the one that brought righteousness to the world from the east, referring to Avraham Avinu, who came from Aram in the east towards Eretz Israel, and he's the one who brought people to righteousness and towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here we see that Avraham is referred to as He'ir Mimizrach. So therefore, Eitan HaEzrachi, the Gemara sees as being synonymous with Avraham. Gemara says, well, Kachashiv Moshe, B'Kachashiv Heman. In the list of the 10 Zekenim, we mentioned Moshe as one of the authors, as well as Heman. V'amar Rav, and Rav told us, Heman ze Moshe. That Moshe and Heman are synonymous, it's the same person. If that's the case, in the list we enumerated both Moshe and Heman, why shouldn't we mention also Avraham and Eitan HaEzrachi? Gemara says, how do you know that? K'tiv Acha Heman, K'tiv. In the Tehillim, it says Heman. Right, that he was all my house, he was Ne'eman. So we see that the Heman Ne'eman, who is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to see this recur over here a number of times, that the Gemara is using very, very loose Gezero Shavot to connect different ideas. And over here, they're connecting between this idea of Heman and Moshe. Gemara says, no, Treiman Havu. Right, they were two different Hemans, one Heman that was Moshe, and one Heman that is the author of that which is in Sefer Tehillim. Moshe katav sifro uparshat Bilam v'Iyov. So now Moshe wrote his sefer as well as Parshat Bilam, which we discussed before is very difficult, controversial statement to deal with in the Gemara, that Moshe authored Parshat Bilam as opposed to what? And Rashi there mentioned, because Parshat Bilam is nothing to do with Torah or the story of Klal Yisrael, and Moshe wasn't necessarily present. So therefore, the Gemara specifically mentioned that Moshe authored that part of Parshat Bilam. But what does that mean? Does that change the standing or is the status of Parshat Bilam different? And we mentioned before that many Rishonim and Achronim discussed this issue. V'Iyov, and Moshe also authored Iyov. Now the rest of the Gemara is going to deal with Iyov from now on, is exactly when did Iyov live, or what is Sefer Iyov about? So, So this supports the position of Rav Levi that Moshe, that Iyov lived at the time of Moshe, and that would make sense that Moshe was the one who authored the Sefer Iyov, because it says in Iyov, it says, who will give it to me, or how, if it will be wonderful, and should be that someone should write down my words. And by Moshe Rabbeinu, right, it says that, how will I know? And it uses the word efo, efo. Even though, truthfully, in Iyov, it's spelled without an aleph, and here in the Torah, it's spelled with an aleph. Nevertheless, the Gemara sees us as connecting. And the Gemara says, well, wait a minute, if you're going to use the word efo, we got plenty of other places you can connect efo. Right? That was when Esav is talking with the brachot with Yitzchak, so we see the word Eifo is used in the time of Yitzchak. Ve'im ben Yaakov, it's also used in the time of Yaakov. Dichtiv, in kein Eifo zot asu. This is what you should do, right? That's what Yaakov tells them when it's regards to going down to Mitzrayim to get food. Ve'im ben Yosef. What about Yosef? Also, it says Dichtiv Eifahim Roim, right? When it talks about him going to see out his brothers, where are they grazing? They're sheep. So lo zakadat chaktiv, that you can't say. All these other eifos don't match up. Why? Because it says mi itain v'sefer v'yuchaku, the continuation of the pasuk from Iyov, which says mi itain eifo v'katvun milai, that my word should be written down. Mi itain v'sefer v'yuchaku, that they should be, who will give, that they should be inscribed inside of a book. So the word, now you have eifo and chokek, right? So Moshe hu deikrei mechokek, and Moshe is the one who's known as a chokek. Why? Dechtiv v'yar reshit lo, God who chose their Yerusha in Eivar Yerdain, they chose first there because Sham Chalkat Mechokek Tzafun, that's where the Mechokek, the one who dictated the laws, inscribed the Torah, that's where he is hidden or buried. That's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to as the Chokek. So both the fact that it uses the word Chokek and Eifo, which are both found by Moshe, do we say that he was in the time of Moshe? Rava Amar Iyov Bimei Amraglim Hava, that Moshe, but Rava says that Iyov was at the time of the Amraglim. Ktiv Hacha Ishaya Be'eretz Utz Iyov Shmo. There was a man in Utz, and Iyov was his name. Uchtiv Hatam, and Moshe sends out the Meraglim. He says, Hayesh ba'eit ba'eit zimayin. Is there a trees? Are there trees in there or not? So that he connects eitz to Utz. Mar says, Midami, hochi Utz, hotam eitz. How can you compare Utz to eitz? Achikamar lehu Moshe l'Yisrael. Yeshno l'oto adam, sheshnotav aruchot ke'eitz. There's a man inside of Eretz Yisrael. I want you to look out for him that his days are as long as that of an eitz of a tree. Umagino doro ke'eitz, and he protects the generation like a tree. So that's why it's comparing eitz and utz, because the eitz was referring to the character or the personage of Iyov. Yativ ha'u marbanan kameid Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. It was a rabbanan who said before Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, yativ v'kamar Iyov lahaya. Iyov never happened. V'lo nivra, was never created. L'mashal haya. It's simply a parallel. I mean, it's all a mashal. It's not anything in reality. So he responded to him. Rosh Hashanah Nachman responded and says, that's what the pasuk says. Ish haya be'eretz utz Iyov shemo. That there was somebody. He gave his land, he gave his name. It's talking about someone in reality. So he said back to him, this chacham that was sitting in front of him, El mi'ata, ulurash en kol ki im kivasa achat ketana asher kana bechia. So that, and v'tei lo levat. So if you want to say that the, when you're talking about a mashal, that it's real when it says vayihi, or that it names the people, or talks about a story, we have also the parallel, the mashal that's brought to David HaMelech, when they're trying to explain to David, or trying to get him to see, right, what he's done, or that is wrong. So it says over there that he adds, there's this poor person, and only has one little sheep, and he says, vayihi lo levat, and it was like, almost like a daughter to him, but there it says, vayihi, vayihi, it's as if it happened. We're going to say, mihavo, did it ever happen? El mashal be'almo, there was just a parable also. Achanami mashal be'almo, sotu ba'yov. It says, in kain, shmo, v'shem yiro, loma. So then, why would you written it? I mean, there's too much detail over here by Iyov. It was all a mashal, you know, there it says, there was an aniachat, or the rash, the poor person, it doesn't give his name, doesn't give his city. I mean, there's too much detail here by Yov to claim that it never happened. That's what Reb Shmuel Ben Nachemi says to him. Reb Yochanan, Reb Elazar, Damri, Tavayo, they both said, Yov me'olei ha-gula haya, that he was part of those that came back from the gula, Beit Midrasho b'Tveria haya, and his Beit Midrash he set up was in Tveria. So we have some challenges towards this. So those that don't say that he was alive at the time of Mitzrayim, because it says Yemeshnotav Shiyov Mashash Nichnasu Yisrael Mitzrayim Ad Shiyatzu, that Yov lasted or lived from the time that Bnei Yisrael entered into Mitzrayim until the time that they left. So if that's the case, that how could he live at other times appeared? So the Gemara says no, don't read it that he lived during that time, but Kit Mishash Nichnasu Yisrael Mitzrayim Ad Shashiyatzu. No, it's as if he lived for as the amount of time that Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. How much is that? That's 210 years. How do we know that? Because at the end of Eov, it says that Hashem doubled everything for Eov, and it says at the end of Eov that he lives for another 140 years. If he lives for another 140 years, and Hashem doubled whatever he had at this point, that means that he lived until that point 70 years. So 70 plus 140 is 210 years. So that was the life of Eov. Tosfos asked them, okay, well, that's pretty straightforward. The Ketuvim say straight out in the Pasuk in Eov that he lived for 140 and Hashem had doubled everything. So it's clear that he lived 210 years. What's the Chiddush? So Tosfos says the Chiddush is that we thought what he doubled was only his possessions and his beauty of his children, all those things, but not necessarily his life. But that's what the Gemara is coming to tell us. No, the Braisa comes to tell us that actually his life was also doubled from that point forward, meaning that he had lived 70 years and now he got another additional 140 years. So Meitve, the Gemara says, okay, how can this be? Shiv'a Nevi'im nitnabudu uto olam, that there were seven Nevi'im that actually gave Nevu'ah to the other nations. Now, when we're talking about the other nations, the assumption of the Gemara here is that these Nevi'im are also not Jews. They are from the other nations. Ve'eluhain. These are the Bil'am Va'aviv. Bil'am and his father, because Bil'am was mentioned with his father's name. And that's what Tosfos brings down, what we have from the Gemara in Megillah. Kol Shishmo V'Shem Aviv B'Nevi'ut V'Yodua Shehu Navi Ben Navi. If a person's a Navi and they bring his father's name as well, that means that he's a Navi Ben Navi. So Bil'am Ben Be'or. So we know that he has a father's name, so both of them were Nevi'im. V'Iyov, so Iyov is mentioned here, Eliphaz HaTemani, U'Bildad HaShuchi, B'Tzofar HaNamati, V'Elihu Ben Brachel HaBuzi, who are all mentioned in Iyov. Those are the friends of Iyov in the story of Iyov. So all of these people are considered to be non-Jewish Nevi'im for the nations. If that's the case, then Iyov would not be a Jew and would present a problem for a number of the opinions until this point who suggested that he was a Jew. Mar says, wait a minute, L'tameich, Eliyahu ben Brachel, the last of them mentioned here, Eliyahu ben Brachel, Abuzi, Mimishpachat Ram, right? Lam Yisrael, whoever, wasn't he a Jew? Because over there it gives too much detail again about him. It says that he was Eliyahu ben Brachel from Abuzi, and Mimishpachat Ram, he's from the family of Ram, and the Medrash says that Ram means from the family of Avraham. But anyways, it gives enough detail to make him sound like he's a Jewish Navi. So when I said, if that's the case, then if Eliyahu ben Brachel is also a Jew, then you could say the same thing about Eliyahu, because it's Hav Ketiv Mishpachat Ram. Ela Invoy Invelu Motolam. These Nevi'im gave Nevu'ah to the other nations, but not necessarily, right, that they were non-Jews. Hachanami Invoy the Umat Olam. All right, so also over here, we could say the same by Eliyahu, that they have the Nevu'ah was given for other nations, but that doesn't mean he was not Jewish. Mar says, why is that unique to these seven Nevi'im? Many other Nevi'im, including, right, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, they also had Nevu'ah for the other nations, Daniel. So why is it unique to these seven Nevi'im? Mar says, Hotam ikar nevu'atayu liYisrael. Over there, the main focus of the Nevu'ah is for Israel. I mean, all the other Nevi'im, their main focus is on Klal Yisrael. They have, as a side, they have other Nevu'ah that's relevant to other nations. Hacha ikar nevu'atayu l'umot olam. Over here, the focus of their Nevu'ah, the focus of their being sent as Nevi'im was for the other nations and not for Klal Yisrael. So this braisa that says that there was a chassid in umot olam, v'yov shmo, which would indicate that Yov is not Jewish again. He only came to the world to get his schar, to get his reward. Hashem brought on him difficulties. He began to blaspheme and to curse and go against the Akash Baruch Hu, to deny Hashem. Hashem doubled his reward at the end of Yov, not as a reward, but because he had failed the test. Therefore, Hashem says, you know what? Give give you all your reward in this olam hazeh, because then you won't get an olam haba, because you didn't stand up to the test. Gemara says, Tnahi, this happens to be a machloket tnayim. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Iyov b'mei shvot ha-shoftim haya, that Iyov was at the time of the shoftim. Shenemar, hein atem kuchem chazitem v'olam hazeh hevel tehavlu. So Iyov says to his friends, you all saw, right, have seen what's happened. V'olam hazeh hevel hevel, why are you embracing this folly or this hevel? So, Ezidor Shekulu Hevel, which generation was that? Was Kulu Hevel? Rabbi Yomer, Ezidoreo Shoshvot HaShoftim. That's the generation of the Shoftim. Rabbi Shua ben Karchomer, Yov Bimei HaChashverosh Hevel. That Yov was the time of HaChashverosh, Shenemar, V'lo Nintzan Nashim Yafot, Kivnot Yov. Right, at the end of Yov, it says that when his daughters, right, that came about, they had doubled the beauty, they were so beautiful that there were nobody as beautiful as daughters, B'chol Haaretz. Ezidor Shenit Bakshu Bo Nashim Yafot. What is the generation in which they were looking for beautiful women? Have you heard? Zedoro Shel HaChashverosh. That was the generation of HaChashverosh. Omar says, Ve'ema B'mei David. What about in the beginning of Malachim Aleph, where David's looking for the beautiful women? Tiva Yivakshu Nara Yafa. So that's Hatam B'chol Gvul Yisrael. There, they want to look in Eretz Yisrael. They were looking for a beautiful woman. Hacha B'chol Haaretz by HaChashverosh. Looking over the whole world for a beautiful woman. Rabbi Natan Omer, Yov B'mei Machut Shiva. That he was in the time of the kingdom of Shiva. Why is that? Because it says in Emar, Vatipo Shiva Vatikachem. In the beginning of Yob, it tells about all the bad things that are about to happen to them. But one of them is this Shiva came and took away all of his flocks or his cattle. So Shiva, it must have been at the time of Shiva. V'chamimarim Yob bimei Kazdim haya. Because the next thing afterwards that happens to him must be in the time of the Kazdim, because Shenemar Kazdim Shamu Shlosha Roshim. That the next group, the Malach, the messenger comes and tells Yob, that the Kazdim have come and taken away all your Gmalim. So therefore, it must be at the time of the Kazdim. Yeshomim, Yov bimei Yaakov haya. That it was actually at the time of Yaakov. Dina bat Yaakov nasa, and his wife was Dina bat Yaakov. K'tiv hacha. Because it says over here in Yov, when his wife says to him, after all this bad has happened to him, his wife says to him, listen, are you still holding on to your Nemanut with Hashem? After all this is that's transpired to you, all that's happened to you? And he says back to his wife, K'daber achat nevalot, you're speaking like one of these right, the impious or women of ill repute, the Dabri, you're going to speak like this? Uchtiv, and who was known as a woman of Nivala? Uchtiv Hatam, it says by the story of Shechem, by Dina Bat Yaakov, Ki Nivala Asa B'Yisrael, that when Shimon and Levi explained or upset about what happened, they said the Nivala Asa B'Yisrael, that the Shkovet Bat Yaakov, right, that the Bat Yaakov was raped there in Shechem, was in Nivala B'Yisrael. So this term of Nivala that's used to describe what happened to Dina, and also over here, Achata Nivalot, is used in Iyov, is indicative of that being Dina Bat Yaakov, and that she was married to Iyov. V'kulhu t'nai svirilhu d'Iyov m'Yisrael hava l'bar me'yishomrim. Except for the Yeshomim, everybody believes that Iyov is a Jew, but except for the Yeshomim, which was in the time of Yaakov, then clearly he wasn't from the family of Yaakov, so he wasn't Jewish. Now, the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel, as was the Rabbeinu Gershom over here, is actually Kulu Tanai Ve'amurai. It's all the Tanaim and all the Amoraim. Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam reject that Girsa, and they say that it shouldn't be Amoraim, because we saw in the previous Amud that Rava says that Yov was Meraglim, and he was protecting the people in the land of Israel. So he clearly wasn't Jewish. So you have an Amora who doesn't say that. And based on that, the Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Gershom think it is the Amoraim, because even Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, who were Amoraim, say also Meole Hagula Haya. So, nevertheless, the Girsa that we have and the way that Tosfos reads it is that it's not including the Amoraim, but just the Tanaim. But now we saw that there's a Braisa that suggests that there's two possibilities, whether Iyov is Jewish or not Jewish. I mean, most of the Tanaim believe that he's Jewish and was in different periods of time. And one of the Tanaim, the Yeshomim, believes that he is not Jewish and that he was in the time of Yaakov. Right? If you think that he was a non-Jewish prophet, then but to the Shachiv Moshe, after Moshe passed away, Mishar Yashchina of Dekochovim. Was there ever such a thing that a non-Jew or someone from the other nations had Hashrat Hashchina or had Nevuah? V'amamar, don't we have a statement? Bikesh Moshe Shalot Yishu Hashchina of Dekochovim Natano. Moshe, in the Parashat Kitzam, he's asking for forgiveness for the ego, and he saw there was a Shat Rachamim. He asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu to say about Klal Yisrael that we'll still be different. Shinamar V'niflin that we will be different than the other nations, that there will only be Ashrat Shechina on Bnei Israel, not on the other nations. So after the time of Moshe, there is no Ashrat Shechina on the other nations. If that's the case, right, then he must be Jewish, right, unless it's before that point in time. And the one opinion that says it was before that time was that it was Bimei Yaakov. There was a time of Yaakov, and we also saw that with Rava, who said it was Bimei HaMiraglim. Rabbi Yochanan, Doro Shel Iyov, Shtuf B'Zima, Haya, that the door of Iyob was full of licentious behavior. Shenemar, Hein atem kuchem chazitem, the same pasuk we quoted before, that all of you see. V'lama zehevel te'avalu, and why are you chasing after this, or embracing this folly? K'tiv, and it says in Shir Hashim, Shuvi shuvi ashulamit, shuvi shuvi nechazebach, and we'll come back, so we can look at you. So they're playing on the word chazitem, that people looked, right, and they were inappropriately looking. So the Gemara says, wait, if you're playing on the word chazitem, why don't you say that they were steeped in nevuah? D'chtiv chazon nishayo ben amutz. If you're going to already do that, the Gemara says, im kema lama zehevel te'avlu, lomali. Right, so then, if it's chazon nishayo and they'll have nevuah, then what's the chastisement of Iyov when he says, lama zehevel te'avlu? What type of folly are you embracing? I mean, if they all had nevuah, there's no folly here. If it's that they're licentious behavior or that they're shtufei zima, then it makes sense that he's chastising them for that type of behavior. Amar of Yochanan, my dichtiv, what does it say, mean when it says, Vehi bimei shvot ha-shoftim, right, that it was at the time that the shoftim ruled, Chdor she-shofet et-shoftav, it was a generation that judged its own judges. Amar lo, so if he says to him, if the shofet came and chastised anybody and gave them musar to do tshuva, he says, Tul kisei miben, either einecho miben shinecha, take out that thorn between your eyes, or that splinter between your eyes or between your teeth. Omer lo, the person who he's giving the musar to will say to him, Tul kora miben einecha, take that beam out from between your eyes. Meaning that if you're coming to give me musar, you, the leader, are giving me musar, you are no better than me, you're much worse. You have a tremendous averot in your hands, and your behavior does not justify you coming and telling me what to do over here. So Amar lo, kaspei chayad sigim. Amar lo, saveich mahu b'mayim. Because it says, when you come and chastise him in Yeshayahu, the beginning of Yeshayahu, when it says that kaspech, your silver, was like become dross, meaning that they're saying, look, your the goods that you had and the goodness that you had has been ruined and taken away, the silver has been ruined, then they say back to him, or back to the leader, saveich mahu b'mayim, your wine, your strong wine has been diluted by water. So that you can't, the people were not accepting of the Musar because they responded to the leaders or the people who came to ask them to do Musar, they responded in kind and said, well, you're coming to correct me, fix yourself first, don't come and bother me. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yonatan Kol Omer Malchut Malkut Shva Isha Hayta Einu Ela Toeh. Don't think that Malkut Shva means the queen of Shva was a woman, but rather Malchut Mai Malchut Shva. What is Malkut Shva? What does it mean that it's the queen or the king? But rather, don't read it as queen, but as Malchut de Shva, the kingdom of Shva. Okay, well, we'll stop over here.